This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 16, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with the SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, because when America is blessed, the world is blessed. Now, I want to invite all of you all over the world to come here on Wednesday night who understand 2 Chronicles 7:14. We've still got a chance. And all of you who have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who know how to pray in the Spirit, I need you. Come and let's get this job done. Come on up from north, south, east, west. Take a plane, take a train, take a donkey every Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Because prayer will get it done if we pray it right. Now, if I have anything left after all of that on Wednesday night, I pray for everyone here one by one as the Holy Spirit leads me, according to his beautiful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Prayer is the power. Anointed Holy Spirit praying in the Spirit. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place, the amazing Grace. Yes, that's the produce place. It's at the corner of Wickham Road at Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Excuse me. And now Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. From God's heart to my heart to your heart. Your shaking and the last mile of your race. You're shaking in the last mile of your race. Hebrews 12 is a parody about you being a runner in a marathon. A marathon is a long distance foot race. If you're saved, the moment you got saved, you got into this race. It's a long one. There are all kind of hurdles and things to pull you out of the race. But at the end there, God's throne is on the north, heaven's in the north, is heaven. Wow, what a goal. Now, thank goodness marathons have watering stations. There are 16 in a natural marathon. So every 2 miles, like every 2 minutes, you want to stop and hydrate on the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1. And the Bible is the Word. So you fill up with the Word because it circulates in you and keeps you in the race. Then you hydrate with prayer. You commune with God. He communes with you. You do not do all the talking because communication, he has to communicate with you. Let him talk, and you'll be refreshed there. And then you hydrate with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have power over all the power of the enemy to stay in the race. And then you hydrate by going to church every Sunday, or if Saturday is your time, and also midweek, because there you're going to get somebody who loves you, who's not going to let you stay in your comfort zone. They're going to help you discipline yourself in the Word and in prayer, and they're going to help you make it to the end of the finish line. And you're going to fellowship with other people. Then you're going to hydrate by winning souls and bringing them into the race. However, now, with the end of the age, you're in the last mile of a race. It has nothing to do with age. And as Shakespeare says, here's the rub. This is what's crucial. I have heard that when people take motor trips, they drive for miles and miles, hours and hours. They're very careful because they're not sure of the territory. But when they get to that street that leads up to their home, they say, "Phew, I'm home now." And that's when most accidents happen. You're in the last mile of the race. And this is most, most crucial. Because there's a shaking going on by two entities for you right now. The first one trying to shake you out of the race is your enemy, the devil. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Why does he want to shake you out of the race? Because he's mad you got this far. He doesn't want you to finish. Now, he's going to use subtle disguise to do it. But did you know your loving Heavenly Father, who loves you so much, he gave his only begotten Son to die for you, Jesus? He is also going to shake you. Why is that? Because our precious Heavenly Father's kingdom of heaven was shaken once before. In the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6 and 7, world in the Greek means age, when Lucifer rebelled, Isaiah 14, and said, "I will be God," we were all there in a spirit body, Ecclesiastes 12, 6, and 7. When you die, if the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. When you return, you were there before. And so Satan, Lucifer, that old dragon, serpent, devil, soon coming Antichrist, shook up everything. And Revelation 12 says 1/3 of God's children shook away from being faithful to God and followed the dragon. There was another third there, didn't get an honorable mention until Revelation 2. They also betrayed God. They're the lukewarmers. They just sat and watched the show. "I'm not going for the devil. I'm not going for God. I'm not getting in this race." Well, they were shaken off too. There was 1/3 there that fought for God. So as you're in the end of the race, the last mile, God's going to make sure that anyone who comes in eternal heaven is never going to break his heart again.
Verse 16, lest there be any fornicator.
Now, in this race, fornication means prostitute. You say, "Sherry, I'm not a prostitute." Well, you might have been, but that's not what it means. It means a prostitute, a spiritual prostitute, one who sells their spiritual birthright. Every one of you in this race, Christian, you have a destiny. There is a place for you to be, a purpose for your life. Now, the devil will say to you, "Don't do it now, do it later." But with the last mile, God says now. Some of you know perfectly well that God has told you to do this. Stop doing this and do this. Some of you know perfectly well God says, "This is what I want you to do with your life." But you said, "Not now, I'll do this." You are fornicating. It's a spiritual term. You are prostituting your destiny. What you're going to do, do it now. If tomorrow's too late, you're at the end, the last mile of the race. Don't you delay anymore, because if you delay, you might not get in to heaven.
A profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright.
For homework, you might like to read Genesis 25. Abraham begat Isaac. And it was through that lineage, Abraham's seed, would finally come the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that was the Abrahamic blessing. Isaac had two sons. They were twins, Esau and Jacob. Esau was the older twin, and he did not care anything about his birthright. He was supposed to get the blessing so Messiah could come through his lineage. But he cared about his belly. He goes out hunting. He comes home hungry. His brother Jacob is making some stew. Esau says, "Give me some of that stew." Jacob said, "I will, if you sell me your birthright." Jacob wanted to be the one through whom Jesus the Messiah would come. Esau says, "I don't care about my destiny. I'll prostitute my destiny. I just care about me, myself, and I right now." And he sold his birthright, Genesis 25, for a bowl of stew. Look out. You might sell your birthright, for a little bit of fun, for a person, for a career, for money, for a video game.
Verse 17, how you know that how afterward he would have received the blessing, he was rejected. How he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
You can read about that in Genesis 27. He went into his dad Isaac, bless me, Dad. Isaac said, I can't. I've just blessed Jacob. And Esau cried, but it was too late. He was at the last mile of the race. And he said, later. But God says, now.
Verse 18, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor to brightness and darkness and tempest.
Now you can read about this for homework in Exodus chapter 19. Now you're in the race and you're going to heaven, the mountain of God. You're getting there. But you see in Exodus 19, the children of Israel were freed from slavery in Egypt, and Moses was leading them through the wilderness to the promised land. So God decided to come to them. He came to the mountain. Mohammed can't get to the mountain, so the mountain comes to Mohammed. God came to the mountain there on Mount Sinai, and wow, was it something. And he said, Moses, you climb up here, and I'm going to give you the Torah, and I'm going to write with my finger the Ten Commandments. Wow, it was something else.
Verse 19, and the sound of a trumpet.
It's amazing, a heavenly trumpet sounded for God to come to Mount Sinai. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 11 says, these things happen in the Bible for an example for those of the end of the age. We're going to come up to the seventh trump, a lights, camera, action, revelation, in the book of Revelation. Jesus is going to come back at the seventh trump. And Jesus is God, and he's going to come to us like God came to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. The Revelation says there are seven trumps. Right now, you're hearing the fifth trump sound. It's a time of teaching so that you will finish this last mile of your race. But the sixth trump also has begun to sound. That is the tribulation. Tribulation is oppression, the Antichrist. Now, he's not here yet, but in the book of Daniel, he says the time altogether is 7 years. It's divided into half, times, times, and a half time, three and a half times. The first part of that, 3.5 years, is the political system of the Antichrist. So that part of the sixth trump is also sounding, but it will continue to sound until the Antichrist gets here. There'll be more about this later on in this teaching.
And the voice of words, which voice they had heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them any more.
What happened? God is so powerful. God is the word. Now when Moses got up there and God spoke that word, the mountain shook. And they heard God's voice. And they said, no, no, we can't hear that. What does God's voice sound like? The book of Revelation, John the Revelator heard God, and it was thunder. He speaks in the thunder. Several years ago, we were having a prayer meeting down here one Wednesday night. The weather was very good. The Spirit was flowing. And I said for our group, oh, Father God, let us hear your voice. We love you. We want you. Speak to us. Boom, it thundered out there. Yeah. Yeah. Carmen's son, Stephen LeBlanc, went to the door. He said, Sherry, it's not even raining out there. I said, no, Revelation says his voice is like thunder. Well, they were scared of God.
Verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded.
They could not hear the word of God. Why? While Moses was up there, they decided to have an orgy. They took their golden jewelry, made a golden calf, and worshipped it. They danced, they had sexual orgies, and they were in sin. They said, we don't want to hear the word of God. Careful, last mile of the race. Some of you are comfortable with a part of the word. I like the part that I'm saved. I like the part that God loves me, will heal me, and supply my needs. But I don't like that part about the Holy Spirit, that I gotta win souls to Jesus, that I gotta be a mover and a shaker, that I gotta know how to pray heaven down, that I gotta get up and do some good. I just wanna watch the show in the Word. Watch out.
Amen.
Man lives by every word of God, says Jesus in Matthew 4. A little dab won't do you. See, some of you pick and choose. Well, I'll get this, but I won't do that. Mm-mm-mm. Might not make it to the finish line.
And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart.
Was so holy, a holy God was there to make his people holy. Be very careful in this last mile. While Jesus is your very best friend, and he's such a joy, let's not lose our awe of God, our reverence of God. Don't you begin to think that just because Jesus loves you so much that you can get away. You know that he's told you to go to church on Sunday. You know he's told you to go to church on Wednesday. You know he's told you to give your life to him. You know he's told you to be filled with the Spirit. You know he told you to stop this and do that. And you think it's okay, it's all right, he's my friend. Be careful, he's still God. God made us all, and God has a right for us to worship him, to obey him. We want to be careful, he's our friend. But let's remember, let's don't disrespect him by not obeying him.
Amen.
Verse 21, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake.
Now the people at the foot of the mountain were shaking because they were in sin and they knew it. But Moses was shaking because God is a spirit. God is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit covered Moses. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you will not sit like this. You will not be quiet. You will not mumble. You will move. You cannot help it. It's the power of God in you and upon you.
Amen.
You've heard of the Quakers, a religious organization of friends. They're called Quakers because when the Holy Spirit moves on them, they quake and they shake. When I was a very tiny little girl, maybe 4 or 5, I went to a tent meeting, and my beautiful grandmother, Claudia Hare, my daddy's mother, loved the Lord with all her heart. And I watched her. I'm just a child. And I watched her lift her hands. And I watched her. And I heard the voice. And I knew that it was real. You are supposed to have the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not supposed to be dead. You're supposed to let him live in you. Pray with the Spirit. Shout with the Spirit. Cry with the Spirit. I mean, anointed with the Spirit. And power will come upon you.
Amen.
Verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels.
You didn't go through that experience, but you're on this last little mile here. You can almost see the heavenly Jerusalem. Revelation 21, God's going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem right down heaven on earth. Look at that.
Amen.
What a beautiful city, not made with hands, made by God. Innumerable company of angels, children of God, minus the flesh. Look. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. They're cheering you on. Come on, they say. Loved ones you've known before, they're waiting for you. You stay in the race. Don't get shaken off. Give it all. Give it all. Give it all.
Amen.
Verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven.
Now, we say church here because church is not really a building, but we have to meet in a building. It's ecclesia, the assembly of the saints. But look what's up there and the north. Look at heaven. Wow, what a church. Look, the church of the firstborn, Jesus the head, the firstborn, the first to arise from the dead, that we all might be his children. There, what a church. You want to get to that one. Boy, that's not going to be a dead church. You can't wait to go to that church.
Amen. Amen. And to God, the judge of all.
And your last mile here, when you get to the end here, all of you who are saved will stand before the Bema judgment seat of Christ. Not whether you're saved or not, because only the Christians are going to be able to get to that. This is not the great white throne judgment. This is a judgment seat for Christians. And everything that you did after you got saved will be put into God's fire machine. God is a consuming fire. See, you're not saved by works, but once you are saved, works become very important, or he would have taken you home. You are to win souls to Jesus. You are to grow. You're to learn how to be a prayer warrior. You're to make a difference in this world. Yep. You're to shine. Amen. You're to share Jesus with everyone Amen. You meet. You're not about you. You're Amen. About him.
Amen.
And if you pass that fire machine, great is your reward. Some of you, you're going to be saved, but no works. Because all you do is watch the show, and I'm going to do what you want me to do later. Get right now up and do what God told you to do. Yep. You don't have any more time.
Amen.
And to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Now look at that. All those people in that church, Jesus the head, they're perfect, no sin. Well, that's why you're running this race. You're running this race and you are being conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. All the greens being taken off, all the me, myself, and I wanna have fun. I wanna do it my way. I want my videos. I want my girlfriend. I want my boyfriend. I want my fun. I want my food. I want my money. No, 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 no. You're gonna be just like Jesus. You're gonna be perfect just like him. That's why there's a lot of shaking going on. So all that mess will be shaken off of you. You're going to be perfect like he is. John says, Epistle of John, we're going to be just like him. Amen. We won't be Jesus, but we like him.
Verse 24. And unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
And the best part of all, there's our precious, precious Jesus. Mediator, he took a body. He's God, Emmanuel, God with us. He took himself a painful body and was an intercessor, mediator between you and your sins. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins. You're covered with the blood. All of this race, you're covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's better than Abel's blood. Cain killed Abel, and Abel's blood cries, but what can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And look, there's the centerpiece of heaven. It's a beautiful fountain. It's a centerpiece of heaven forever. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. But you know what? Jesus is God. He's not only there, but he's with you in the race because he's omnipresent everywhere at the same time. So he's right here with you. And when you're weak, he is strong in you.
Amen.
Verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refuse him that spake on earth?
They refuse to hear Moses. We don't want to hear you, Moses. You know what they told Moses? We're going to select us another leader. We're going to go back to Egypt. We're going to go back to sin. because we want the melons, we want the garlic, we want the onions, we want to get back to our comfort zone. I just want to be saved, you say, but I don't want to pray in the spirit. I don't understand that. It doesn't matter if you understand it, it tells you to do it. I don't want to give my tithes and offerings. I don't want to win souls. I just want to watch the show, they said. You know what happened to them? They died in the wilderness. They never got to the promised land.
Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven.
James chapter 4, verse 17. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There's a point that you can say no so long that you're shaken out of the race. Nobody can pluck you out of Jesus' hand, but you can move yourself out of his hand.
Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only.
Right now, the entire earth is shaking. It began shaking in January 20th with COVID. And it shook in January 2021 and 22. It's been 3 years of this shaking. Now, in Daniel's prophecy of the tribulation, the trouble, tribulation means oppression. The tribulation of the Antichrist is divided into two times. The first times he calls it times, times, and a half time. Now, that is not when the Antichrist is here. That is when the oppression of the political system of the Antichrist is here. Now, the Antichrist time comes after that. The Antichrist time himself has been shortened, for the elect's sake, Mark 13, to 5 months in Revelation 9. I believe that we began the tribulation. There's no voice going to say we're in the tribulation. Isn't tribulation oppression? Yes. Haven't we been oppressed for 3 years here?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we're on the threshold of the Antichrist coming. We don't know when. We don't know how. Okay. We've got the political system. It's all over the world. 3 years of COVID and all that mess that's going on. Everything's shaking that can be shaken.
But also heaven.
But God says, I'm going to shake heaven. When the Antichrist comes at the last part of that, and thank God his time's been short for the next sake, Mark 13 to 5 months, Revelation 9. Michael the Archangel, Revelation 12, is going to shake that old dragon. That's Lucifer, serpent, devil, Satan, Antichrist. Going to shake him out of heaven. He's restrained in heaven right now. And he's going to come in the clouds like Jesus is going to come. And he's going to land in Jerusalem. He's going to be beautiful. The whole world's going to be shaken, go after him thinking he's God because he calls himself Greek Theosophia, God's Savior. And half of the people, the body of Christ, the last mile of the race, are going to be shaken off. They think that he's Jesus. They think they've gotten to him, and they're going to follow him. Matthew 25, the five foolish virgins. He's that good. Wow.
Verse 27, and this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made.
The one shaking up there before Jesus comes at the sixth trump, the Antichrist, is a made being. He is a created being. He is not the creator. Our Father God, Elohim, created Lucifer, but he created him perfect. He did not create him in sin. He had free will, and he chose to sin. So this thing that God made is going to come, and Revelation 13 says the whole world is going to shake off to him and worship him. And half of the body of Christ and the last mile of this race are going to go to him because they don't know the order of the trumps, and he's that good. He's going to say peace, safety, money, cause craft to prosper. Everybody just love me. I'm Jesus. Wow.
That those things which cannot be shaken may remain.
You want to remain. Jesus said that it'll be like the times of Noah. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. The ones who were taken away with the flood did not want to hear the word of God. They would not obey the word of God that Noah was speaking. The ones who stayed were the ones who heard the word of God and obeyed the word of God. Jesus says in Matthew 24, two men will be in the field, one taken, one left. Two women grinding at the mill, doing your computers, one taken, one left. When you've been taken, you've been conned, you've been had. Jesus said, stay in the field, remain at the last mile of the race. Don't fall off to the fake one.
Amen. Verse 28, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved.
Satan is going to go into the lake of fire and all those in his kingdom. But look up there. Of God's kingdom, it shall last forever.
Amen.
But do you know what? You're in the kingdom now. Jesus says the kingdom is at hand. Jesus is your king, and you're in his kingdom, your dominion. He's your king right now in the race. I know we love our countries and we're loyal to our countries, but we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
So keep that in mind. You're an ambassador for Christ.
Amen.
Don't you dare get out of this race.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
You notice he said, let us serve God. Jesus says that the one greatest in the kingdom of heaven is a servant. Okay, the last mile of the race. Some of you come to church to get. Did you know you're supposed to come to church to give? Ha. Huh. You get up in the morning, you got to get. Nope, you get up in the morning to give. You do not come to church to get. You come to give. Give prayers, give the Spirit, give, open up, give, give, give. Of course, when you give, you'll get.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
How are you serving? How are you serving? Because that's the most important thing. The servant is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire.
For all of those who were shaken out of the race, lost people, Christians who worship Antichrist, the great white throne judgment, you walk into the lake of fire. But for all of you who stay in the race, endure to the end. Jesus says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. God, that consuming fire, that fire just kind of like a heating pad, rubs away all those little aches and pains that you got while you were running the race. And now you're in heaven's home. Look at that. No more pain, no more death, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more devil. Heaven, God the Father, Yahweh. Heaven, God the Son, Yeshua Jesus. Heaven, Holy Spirit, Holy Rock. Home at last.
Amen.
Heaven, I pray.
Amen.
You are blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. It was awesome. Awesome teaching tonight.
Heaven is awesome, isn't it?
Heaven is awesome.
David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:17.
Absolutely perfect. Yep. Great, Amen. Scott. We did not collude. Thank you. Thank you very much. Amen. Before I pray for healing, if anybody's not saved, pray this prayer with me now. Mean it with all your heart, and God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you get in this race and finish it. Okay, here we go. Dear God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Dear God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Lord Jesus, save my soul.
Lord Jesus, save my soul.
Wash away my sins with your precious blood.
Wash away my sins with your precious blood.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Put me where you want me in your church.
Put me where you want me in your church.
And use me.
And use me.
To serve.
To serve.
To serve.
To serve.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Savior.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now you may call him Father. Now you may pray Father in Jesus' name. Now for all of you in cyberspace who prayed that prayer, Romans says you must tell someone. You need to tell a lot of people. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. In a moment, my announcer, Scott, will give you my telephone number. That's my voicemail. Call that and leave your confession on there. When I get it, I'll pray for you and welcome to the family of God. Now, be sure to read your Bible every day for the rest of your life. Not a little devotional book, the Bible. You might want to start with the book of John and listen to me, and you can get all the books of the Bible anyway from Trumpet of Truth from me over a period of time. And you want to pray now. You can say, Father, in Jesus' name, by the Holy Spirit, and live for him. Live for him and love him. You also may email me. You may email me not only your confession. By the way, you may email me if you have a prayer request. I would like for me to use that on Wednesday for the SSS, but I need to know if I can use your name. I know we won't be able to do all of them, but it might be yours. So let me know if you want me to pray for you, the SSS on Wednesday night, supplication for someone special, and if I could use your name. And leave that prayer request on my email, or you may leave a praise report, just no grumbling on the email, okay? Here's my email, Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com. I feel led today to pray for psoriasis. This is kind of a skin condition there, and it's very, very hard. Sometimes it can be on the scalp, the elbows, the knees, the lower back, and it can even be on the face. It's red bumps, and if you scratch them, it bleeds there. So the Lord led me to pray for that. In the mighty name and the power of Jesus, you who have psoriasis, I ask the Lord Jesus to build up your immune system and to build up the skin cells which are beneath your skin. And in the name of Jesus, we call forth those red bumps to be gone, the pus to be gone, the dry patches there to be gone, in your scalp, in your elbows, your lower back, your knees, and your face. And let your flesh be as fresh as that of a child, without spot, without blemish, and without wrinkle. Look how beautiful you are. We all say, I agree in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock, but your best friend is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's closer to you than hands are breathing. No greater love is this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Come on, be what he wants you to be. Tomorrow may be too late. Now is a day of salvation. I love you too with all my heart. I really love all of you in here and in the world. I feel your spirit. I have that gift, and I love you. I feel you. I love you. We are one body. And I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
Brevard's home
the trumpet
the very best
of
in contemporary Christian music, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
And clan above the noise of selfish strife, we hear thy voice, O Son of Man. In haunts of wretchedness and need, on shadowed thresholds dark with fears, from paths where hide the lures of greed, we catch the vision of thy tears. Tread